Man,
Okay.
these, you know,
So
this
again,
world is
I've
a
written a
wicked
book
place. You know, now praise God.
Entitled Heaven,
There are some good
Answers
people
for Today
in
and
this
Hope for
world.
Tomorrow.
And hopefully
and
you
one
are
of the things
one of the
that
good people in this
I haven't
world.
been pointing
That
out
I am
is that
one of the good persons,
you know, actually
in this
I,
world.
I've written
and
a
so
lot
there's
of
a lot
poetry.
of good people in this world.
I have
but,
a
you know,
a
poem
I did that's been entered in a contest.
Welcome to Encouragement Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Anya Hall thanking you for joining us for the first half of Heaven, Part 3. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Heaven, Part 3.
And it's going to be published in a book, and also it's up for... I don't know if I'm a win or not, but it's up, you know, for a nomination for an award. So so I do write a lot of poetry. And in this book on heaven, each chapter starts with a poem that I've written. You know, I've written several in this book. So let me just share one. The title of this poem here is called Death and Heaven. When I close my eyes and take my last breath, I will know the full reality of this thing called death. On this earth, time for me will be no more. When I step into eternity of heaven's golden shore, my body will go into the ground. Of this, I am assured. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Job said that my worms, the body will eat, but my spirit will be with God, perfect and complete. From the light of this life, I will be gone. Death is the dark sunset that leads to a glorious dawn. When I die, to heaven I will ascend, and death for me will be a delightful friend. So that's again in this book that I've written, each chapter begins with a poem, and so you know I just wanted to point that unique feature out of this particular book, Heaven. Answers for Today and Hope for Tomorrow. So we've looked at a lot of things. So let me just run through the slides to get to where I want to start today. You know, we talked about titles for heaven, and we listed those. We talked about the location of heaven. We talked about activities in heaven. How old will we be in heaven? We talked about our bodies in heaven, what kind of bodies we will have in heaven. I mentioned something about cremation. We talked about, will there be sex in heaven? What gender will we be in heaven? Will there be eating in heaven, sleeping in heaven, marriage in heaven? We talked about relationships with family members. Are they aware of what's happening on this earth? The people who are already in heaven, can loved ones come back from the dead and speak to us? We've talked about that. Will we know our loved ones in heaven? Will we remember the things that happened on this earth when we get to heaven? Will we recognize family and friends? And will we have enemies in heaven? So we touched on all those things. And the last thing that we want to talk about is a chapter in this book that I've written on heaven. And it's actually titled The Bee Knows. The bee knows in heaven. And we're going to look at what will there not be in heaven. In this chapter that I've written on the bee knows, I conclude with this thought. Let me share it with you. Maldives is a country consisting of a group of islands in the Indian Ocean. According to scientists, this tropical paradise with its gorgeous beaches could become uninhabitable in less than 100 years because of the rising sea level. As a result, many of the residents have volunteered to relocate, and those who don't will be required to evacuate. We are living on a planet that will one day be uninhabitable, and all the residents will be forced to vacate. What a blessing. Wow, what a blessing it is to know that we have an eternal home to go to when the Lord calls for the evacuation of this planet. And so this is where we're headed, you know, and a lot of people, you know, are worried. See, and this is why, you know, we have to take our theology from the Bible. Now, you know, I believe that we should be concerned about, you know, what's going on this planet, and we should do our best to, you know, make sure we have a clean, healthy environment. You know, I have no issues with us doing that. But the thing that we need to realize is this, that no matter what the scientists say, that if we read the Bible, that there's at least 1,007 years left on this earth, that this earth is not going to be destroyed by all these things that people say that can destroy them. You know, that this earth, according to the Bible, you know, if we, as we look at it, there's going to be 7 years of tribulation, and then there's going to be 1,000 years where Christ reigns on this earth. And then after that, and this is what we're going to study next week, there'll be a new heaven and earth, that God is going to create a new heaven and earth. So this earth has at least 1,007 years. And God is going to be the one, you know, it's not going to be man that destroys this earth. So, you know, again, you know, we get all uptight about global warming and all these other things, which again, I'm not downplaying. I think we need to protect our environment, you know, so I'm saying that. So don't leave here saying Pastor Glaze is, you know, is putting down, you know, not taking care of the planet. No, I'm not saying that. I believe that we should. All I'm saying is, if we read the Bible and look at the Bible, that, you know, God is going to be the one who destroys this earth. And it says that he's going to destroy it with fire in 2 Peter. And so when we looked at the first time, you know, well, God created the earth. And the first time God destroyed the earth, he destroyed it with water. And we have an account of that in the book of Genesis. And so, you know, man can do what he wants to do as far as the environment is concerned, but this earth is going to be here until God says it's time for it to not be here. So again, next week, we are going to look at the new heaven and new earth, and we're going to see that God is going to do away with this earth. And so this earth is not going anywhere until God gets ready for it to go somewhere. But it is a blessing to know that when we leave this life, and if this earth, and when this earth is destroyed, that, you know, we don't have anything to worry about. You know, as believers, we have an eternal home, that God has provided for us an eternal home. So we need to live our lives and live our lives to the glory of God, live our lives serving God, and don't live our life in fear, worried about, you know, what's going to happen here, what's going to happen there. God got that all in control. And when my time on this earth is finished, then I'm going to a place that is unbelievable. And so, you know, again, that should be our motivation to serve him. That should be our motivation to live for him. That should be our motivation to glorify him, knowing that one day we're going to get up out of here. And the place that we are going, the scripture says that eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of men and women, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. So again, take heart that, you know, we have better things on the horizon for us. And, you know, the difficult thing is that, you know, sometimes, you know, we have to go through a period of suffering, and, you know, we have to go through a period dealing with the troubles of this world. So, you know, that's the hard part. But God even gives us grace to deal with that. And so as we deal with that, you know, we know that there is the other side where joy awaits us, and the blessings of God, you know, in glory, in eternity, awaits us also. So as we study our lesson today, we're going to be talking about the bee knows in heaven, the bee knows in heaven. And so the first thing we see is that there will be no Satan. Notice Revelation 20 and verse 10, that and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I don't know if, and I'm sure all of us have heard that song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And I like the words that Martin Luther penned. You know, he said, we have an ancient foe, and that ancient foe is the devil. And Martin Luther said, still our ancient foe still seeks to work us woe. Satan is the ancient foe. He has been around since the beginning of time on this earth, and he has been seeking to do us harm all this time. But when we get to heaven, you know, in the words of MC Hammer, you can't touch this. Satan will not be able to touch us in heaven. And so, you know, we deal with his forces on a daily basis. Now, you know, I've said this often, and that is, you know, people say the devil is after me. Well, you know, the devil really is not after you, because let's be honest, and I'm talking with me included, you know, the devil probably got bigger targets that he's trying to bring down than us, but it's his demons that we deal with. Right. And so when we get to heaven, we will not have to deal with Satan or his demons. You know, you think about on this earth, the things that tempt us, you know, we will not have to worry about temptation in heaven because there will be no tempter there. You know, Satan is a tempter from the very beginning. He tempted Adam and Eve and they fell. And he's been tempting people ever since. He's called the accuser of the brethren. He's like a roaring lion. He's seeking to devour whoever he can. And so we see that the devil is active on this earth. He's very busy. But one day, I like the song, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. And what is a part of that victory? The victory is that we won't have to deal with the devil anymore. You know, he might have worn us out in this life, right? But when we get to heaven, that's going to be it. We don't have to deal with him anymore. So when we look at these beanos in heaven, the first beano is that there will be no Satan. Let's look at the next one. The Bible says there will be no sea. You know, well, what does that mean? Revelation 21 and verse 1, it says, in heaven, there'll be no more sea. So there's been various interpretations regarding the meaning of this particular verse right here. Some have suggested that the sea represents wickedness in the Bible. We see that in Isaiah 57 and verse 20. And so some people say when it says there'll be no more sea, that that means that there will be the absence of evil in heaven, which we know that's true. You know, there's not going to be any evil in heaven. But there's another interpretation that people have said also when it says there'll be no more sea. Others have said because sea, the water is what's needed to sustain life. And if you look at your body, you know, our bodies are 90% water. So we need water to exist. You know, it says that, you know, somebody said that you can go 40 days without eating anything, but you can only go about a week without drinking water because we need water to exist. Even plant life, if you don't water your plants, you know, they're going to die. So in heaven, you know, our life will be sustained not by water. It'll be, you know, God will supernaturally sustain our water, I mean, our bodies. So some people say that's the reason that there'll be no more sea is because, you know, we'll, and what he was making a reference to is that there'll be no more water, that we won't, you know, need water in heaven. But we do see that there are some rivers that are going to be there. So this idea of there'll be no more sea, you know, either can refer to the fact that the sea represents the wicked and there'll be no more wicked people there, or the sea represents, you know, what sustains our lives, and that, you know, we won't need the water to sustain us anymore. So when we look at these beanos, there'll be no more Satan, there'll be no more sea. The third be no. I like this one right here. There'll be no more sorrow. Revelation 21 and verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. God will wipe away all tears associated with the sorrows of this life. This will include grief brought on by death or pain resulting from sickness or hurt caused by losses in life. God is going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. So the painful things that happen to us down here, I believe one of two things will happen. Either God will wipe them from our memory and, you know, we will not remember those things, or if we remember those things, there will not be any grief associated with it. You know, we'll remember those things, you know, again, in a way that we'll turn them into a praise. You know, God, I remember when I went through this difficult time. I remember when I went through this painful time, and Lord, you are with me. And so it'll be rejoicing. So the sorrows, the painful things that happen to us on this life, God is going to remove the sting of those painful things. You know, the slaves, you remember the song that they used to sing, soon we'll be done with the troubles of this world. And so, saints, that's the way that we, you know, need to look at things too, is the fact that, you know, things on this earth seem to be getting worse and worse. You know, I mean, every week and maybe even every day, there's mass shootings. You know, we just read about this one down there in Texas at that mall where the guy got out of his car and just started shooting people. Man, these, you know, this world is a wicked place. You know, now, praise God, there are some good people in this world. And hopefully you are one of the good people in this world, that I am one of the good persons in this world. And so there's a lot of good people in this world. But, you know, I did an interview with Channel 4 News when we had the ribbon cutting. And, you know, they came to interview me about, you know, the new sanctuary and everything. But he asked more questions about Bethany being in Homewood. And, you know, he talked about how that, you know, there's a lot of crime in Homewood. And you know, and one of the things that I pointed out, and I said, you know, those are the things that seem to make the headlines. If you come into Homewood, there's a lot of good things going on. You know, if you go to the churches, each church is doing something marvelous in this community. When you look at, I know I'm on the board for the Homewood Children's Village and what they're doing. When you look at other initiatives, there's a lot of good things going on in Homewood. But sadly, it seems like, you know, people getting shot, people getting killed, people getting robbed, that seems to overwhelm the good things that are going on. And so when you look at this world, you know, there's a lot of good people in this world, and there's a lot of good people doing good things, but, you know, it seems like wickedness is overshadowing, you know, the fact that, you know, somebody, you know, here's what, 8 or 9 lives that started out the week last week that are not here anymore. You know, so, you know, this world is just, you know, has some wicked people in it that make it hard to be in this world. But one day, you know, we'll be done with the troubles of this world. And so there'll be no more sorrow. You know, just think of, and I know I say this often, but just think of your loved ones, you know, people that that you love, that knew the Lord. And when they passed away from this life, you know, man, they were done with all the troubles associated with this old world. And so, you know, we're in this world. And that's why, saints, I encourage us that we do everything that we can to make this world a better place, right? That if, you know, I'm going to be talking about this Sunday, we've been talking about the tabernacle, the Shekinah glory, We've looked at the altar and we've looked at the laver so far. This Sunday, we want to look at the golden candlestick, and the candlestick brings light. And God wants us to bring light to this world. And so if he's left us here, that if you're here right now, you know, that we long for heaven, that we hope for heaven. But while we're here right now, you know, we have to bring light to this world. You know, I love that song, Brighten the Corner Where You Are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor, you can guide across the bar. Brighten the corner where you are. And that's what we've been called to do. In the midst of a world that has sorrow in it, that has pain in it, that has hurt in it, that God has called us to bring light to this world. And he said in Matthew, let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So until that day, when we enter into the portals of heaven, let us continue to let our light shine. And, you know, there's a lot of hurting people in this world. How are you shining light on their situation? You know, because the reality is that one day all this sorrow is going to be gone. And if we could help, we might not be able to help take away people's sorrow, but if we could help ease the burden a little bit, if we could help alleviate some of that sorrow, you know, that's why God has left us here. Y'all often wonder, you know, if getting saved was all about going to heaven, how come God just didn't take you home the day that you got saved? He left you here, and he left you here for a purpose. He left you here to let your light shine in the midst of this darkness. So there'll be no sorrow. There'll be no sin. There'll be no sin. As we look at Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There'll be no sin in heaven. We will not have to be concerned about murders and prostitution and stealing and lying and or any other transgression, because you know, we'll be free from sin. You know, I like if I didn't put this in the notes, but I like this, and I've used this on several occasions, and that is, and y'all don't shout when I say this now. Don't shout when I give you this, right? But justification, that we've been delivered from the power of sin. Sanctification, we are being delivered from the influences of sin. And glorification, we'll be delivered from the presence of sin. Okay, so let me give you that again. Justification, you being delivered. When Christ died on the cross, he delivered you from the penalty of sin. He delivered you from the penalty of sin. And then sanctification, let me thought I didn't give you that second P. You are delivered from the power of sin. Every day we talked about that cleansing, right, on Sunday, that you are delivered from the power of sin. And then one day when you get to heaven, you will be delivered from the very presence of sin, the presence, justification.
Thank you for joining us today on Encouraged in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Heaven, Part 3. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Heaven, Part 3, you can contact us at encouragedinjesus.org and request Heaven, Part 3. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Heaven, Part 3. from our Bible Prophecy Series, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible Prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Title, Anchored in Jesus, come from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Galaise and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.